that I was valedictorian, that I was on top of everything. And I don't know, I don't remember anything much about having a happy childhood. The only thing I knew is that if I achieved something that was good enough, I was an overachiever, a perfectionist, and I liked to be number one. So I can go on and go on with my story. I didn't pick up a drink till I was 18. And my mother, oh, my loving, vain, beautiful mother, she was so beautiful, she could have been an actress. She said, Tina, you're 18, you can have a drink. And so she gave me my first drink. And that is the start of my drinking story. Now, I'll go and put it aside. At the age of 18, I had finished my college degree. I had finished it in the University of the Philippines. I was a BS biological science graduate. You know what biological science is all about. You dissect frogs and rabbits and cats and snakes and crocodiles and all of that stuff. And then I was sent on a scholarship to Japan. In Japan, I was lonely. I didn't even speak their language. But I went to the university called the Sophia University, which is a Jesuit school. And guess what? From being a science graduate, I decided to take AB philosophy. Oh my God, the other end of the world. You know why? Because I enjoy philosophizing, rationalizing, individualizing every icing that I could get my hands on. I became a thinker. And I became a thinking thinker. Now, I met another Filipino there who was a graduate of the same scholarship. He became a businessman, then he started to work for the Philippine government. We had a whirlwind romance. When I fall in love, I fall in lust. I got married to a man who was perfect. He did not smoke, he did not drink, and he loved me with all his heart. And I don't want to talk about Tony, that's his name. Yeah, I think I destroyed his life. But that's what happens to alcoholic addicts like me. I am like, my personality is like a hurricane. It's like a tsunami. It's like typhoon signal number 6. I can go through someone's life and destroy it with my drinking, my smoking, my gambling, my lusting, my codependency. That is the kind of woman that I am. A great super bitch. I had one child after another with Tony. My eldest daughter, Gina, is now 43 years old. The next one, Nana, is 3rd lost me. Am I still there? Hello? I can see my... Yeah, okay. And my third son, when he was born, my mother noticed that I was gaining weight. And she said, Tina, you're gaining weight. I couldn't see anything wrong with me, but she found it. Something wrong with me, she said. You're going to get fat and ugly, and your husband's going to leave you. And I looked at her and asked her, what am I going to do? She said, okay, this evening before we sit down for dinner, you're going to smoke a cigarette. And that was the first cigarette that I smoked. My mother gave me my first drink. My mother gave me my first cigarette. I am like my mother. And from then on, I had a cigarette before each meal. And later on, I had a cigarette after each meal. And later on, I had a cigarette in between meals. And later on, I had a cigarette whenever I wanted to. This is my progressive disease. So I'll go on and jump 39 years from hence, which was on July 2005. Sometime in early 2005, I woke up one morning and found myself coughing and wheezing and sneezing and having a nicotine hangover. I was hurting. My chest was painful. I wasn't breathing properly, and I knew exactly what was causing it. It was my smoking that was causing it. I've been sober for 14 years. I've been trying to be as honest with myself as possible for all these years. I've done the steps as I thought I should do the steps. And early in 2005, I said, I got to do something about this character defect. Oh my God, I called smoking a character defect. I was still in a great denial that it was an addiction. I always wanted to call myself an alcoholic. This is fancy, you know. I couldn't tolerate myself to call myself an addict. Because you know why? Addict has more stigma than alcoholic here in the Philippines. My son is in Narcotics Anonymous. My son-in-law is both in, a lot of people in my family belong.
Uh-oh. Tina got moved. I've got it. She'll be back. We hope. Somebody remember where she was at so you can tell her when she gets back. Cause... good. Yeah, she was going right along there too. Yeah. Well, Dan, not getting much recorded here. Just empty silence.
Offline too.
What, Edith? I mean, Lynn? I'm sorry.
She's offline too.
There she is. Okay, does anybody remember where Tina was when she left? You might type that up there. Welcome back, Tina. We're so glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm back too. I think it was me. It wasn't Yahoo. Please don't blame Yahoo. I forgot I had this big book on my space bar. I tipped over something and I tried to press on, I clicked on something and I got lost. That's the fun of all of these things. Now I forgot where I was sharing, but that's okay. Yeah. You know, when I was, I go back to my disease. And to a sanitarium. You know, it's called a sanitarium, sanitarium. I was something like 80 pounds. I was like, you know, Twiggy. And in, I don't know, I really looked awful. I was almost spitting blood. My lungs had two great big holes filled with the active tuberculosis. I stayed in the hospital for about a month. They gave me, bombarded me with lots of medication. They said if I had to gain something like 30 pounds before they got me back into the real world. Yes, yes, it is. My son Dino is in NA. I only got ahead of him 6 months. You know, when I got sober, God gave me an additional gift. And my son just got in after 6 months because I realized I had to put him in rehab. Anyway, that is another fun story in my life. He's still actively smoking, but that's okay. His time will come if he wants it. So, I know that my smoking, together with my tuberculosis condition, it's going to kill me. My PTB, pulmonary tuberculosis, as they call it here, is on and off. Sometimes it's just in recession. Sometimes it activates a little bit. Sometimes, I don't know, it just pops in and out. And I knew that if I continued smoking, you know, it's not tuberculosis that's going to kill me. It's nicotine. And all the chemicals that go with it, that's what's going to kill me. Because I've heard a lot of stuff like that before. So, you know, I don't know how this happened. I'm here because of a great big miracle. And I cannot leave my AA way of life behind and just talk about my smoking. It was the 12 steps of AA that got me into these rooms, and I don't want to deny that. I'll be forever be grateful for the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I use today in all my quits. Now, when I say in all my quits, that is drinking, gambling, lusting, codependency, and smoking. Because I have to practice all these principles in all my affairs. I like the word affairs. I had a long time affair with my smoking. And I loved Mark. Mark is the brand of my cigarette. The long-term love affair. I quit a lot of things, you know. I dropped a lot of things. I dropped a beautiful, healthy, loving relationship with a guy because of smoking. 12 years ago, this guy, I call him Jim. He's a lawyer. He's an American. He owns a law firm. He fell in love with me. He wanted to bring me to the ends of the world. He took me traveling all over the world. You know, one day he said, Tina, my father has lung cancer. Then his father died. Then he said, Tina, I'm going to quit smoking. And he quit. Oh my gosh. Some people are like that. I get so envious when they say, I'm going to quit, and then they quit. And then he asked me, Tina, will you quit with me? And I said, okay. So at that time, he bought, there were patches available in the Philippines. I got myself nicotine replacement patches. I went to the patches, and then he said, come over to the United States. I stayed in the United States for 8 months. I did not smoke. I did not smoke because of Jim. He was my higher power at that time. Then I came back to the Philippines. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. Jim was over there in the States. And my friends were telling me, Tina, what's wrong with you? You're behaving badly. And then I said, I quit smoking. Ooh, we liked you better when you were smoking. And then one of my friends in AA said, come on, have a stick. And automatically I picked up that first cigarette and the insanity returned. Times, you know, I didn't even feel guilty about it. After a couple of years, you know what I did? I told Jim, bye-bye, Jim. I'm sorry, I can't quit smoking. I can't live with you because I wanted to continue smoking. So I dropped the relationship, a loving relationship with someone because of my smoking. I wanted to continue smoking. Nothing could replace the addiction of smoking. One day, so I'll go back. How did I get into rooms like this? I'm tired of pressing the button. I put my big book back. Okay? One morning after lots of talking with friends in the AA fellowship, and my sponsor, and a lot of step 6 and 7 and 11. If you have been there, you'll know what I mean. I did a lot of praying and meditation. I asked God to remove this addiction from me, the nicotine addiction in particular, because I was suffering. I only pray sometimes to God when I'm hurting, when it's painful, when it's miserable, when I'm desperate. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I thought it would come right away. It didn't come right away. My God really took His time. But maybe it's His time. It's not my time. It's His pace. It's not my pace. Can you hear me? Hello, Scott. Okay, I don't want to press anything because I'll get lost again. So, one evening, I was just going browsing through my internet. Actually, I was going to a disease called Crohn's disease. And it crossed my mind, why don't I look for stop smoking website? So I started Googling, Googling stop smoking, quit smoking. I went to different websites. This was 10th of January, your time. And I got to myself in the chat room in QuitNet. But there were people who were talking about, what clothes did you buy? It was just an open chat. So I said, maybe I'm in the wrong chat room. And so I said, I'll go back to the Mother Fellowship. So I went to Nicotine Anonymous. And when I went to the website of Nicotine Anonymous, there was unofficial, there was voices. I tried to click on one, and then they said that room was closed. I said, I don't know. I got all sorts of things. I was starting to give up. And then finally there was, I don't know what happened. I clicked into something, it was a website. And then it just said join. So I clicked the join. And then I clicked on chat. Because I don't know whether I should join first or I can click on chat and be there. I was like on a Ouija board. I was being guided. I was not doing it on my own devices. I tell you this, my fingers were higher powered, but a power greater than me. And that is what it is all about. I am smoker today because of a loving, loving, loving God who gave me the willingness and the grace that evening. And the next thing I knew, I was in a chat room. And there was something being shared at that time. God bless her soul. She just left the room. I think I heard Celeste say something. And then I heard Ken say something. They were talking about certain principles that I have learned about. You know what? They were attracting me towards this room. This is a program of attraction. And that is what I got that moment. Attraction and the grace of willingness. That's all I needed for that moment. I didn't know how to get Messenger. I didn't have Yahoo Messenger yet. But I could hear. I did not have a microphone. For 1 week, I came into these rooms. For 1 week, I was still smoking. I was cutting down. I was controlling. On July 19, I got home. I looked in the mirror and I said, Tina, what are you doing? Automatically, I was picking up a cigarette from my pack of cigarettes. It was the last one. I lighted it up. I took two puffs and I said to myself, I looked at myself sincerely and said, Tina, you are insane. You know, I was talking to myself, you know very well, Tina, that you light up a cigarette and it's going to lead to the next one and the next one. You're really so hard-headed, you bitch. And I was so angry at myself. And I can be really angry at myself. And I can be so angry at myself that I have to do something about it. And that's when I killed that cigarette. I didn't even smoke it through. I killed it. I wrapped it up in bond paper. I snuffed it out. I threw it in the garbage can. And then I got all the, you know, the butts that was there. There were only about 3 butts in the ashtray. I threw it in the garbage can. I got all the ashtrays in my room. I brought it down to the kitchen. I threw away the trash. I got all my lighters. I have a collection of lighters. I went to my son's room, who is still actively smoking. I placed all my beautiful cigarettes over there, including my jade ashtrays and everything. And my room was paraphernalia free. I call them paraphernalia free. And then, what am I going to do? You take away all of these things from Tina, and what have I got left? I got one thing left. I look up. Whenever I look up, I connect with a power greater than me. And I looked up and I connected with my God, the only God that I knew for that moment, because I believed and trusted in that God. I turned on my computer. I logged back into this website. I am now in the small room. I'm in the website room. I went to the message board. I even looked at the photographs. I saw some of your faces. I read them. I read as many messages as I could read until my eyes fell off there. Where they're supposed to. It fell really bad. I shut my eyes and I fell asleep with the computer on. And at 2 o'clock, I had a very strong craving. I got up. I clicked on chat. Some of the guys were there. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, my time. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, your time. Again, my higher power has programmed the time for me. I could have had a craving an hour before and an hour later, and no one would have been in this room. But I had a craving at exactly the right time. And you were there. So, this is a place, you know, that has given me as much support and love that I needed to stay away from that one stick for just one day. And it's been like that, staying away from that one stick of cigarette for just one day. And today, I feel great. I am alive. I'm breathing in and out. I gained a few pounds. I'm still in great shape. Somewhere in the second month of being sober, I had a physical checkup, and my lungs still had those hazy spots, but they were much better than the x-ray that I got a year ago. There was improvement, a large improvement in 2 months sober time. That kept me, you know, that gave me more enthusiasm to be part of this fellowship and to be part of you, your life, and to be part of a life that is smoke-free today. One more thing that has helped me a lot is service in this program. You know, I am a service person. I am a grandmother of 10, a mother of 3. I have a business that I run, which is a service business, and it gives me a time and an opportunity to be useful to myself, to others, and to my God. And service, I know, is something that goes around. What goes around comes around. It is an action of giving, and it is an action of receiving. And today, I can remember the next day I woke up. After the 2 o'clock meeting, I went to sleep. I woke up and had another craving. I knew I still had 3 packs of cigarettes somewhere in the house. You know, an intelligent person like me will never forget where I hide things. I knew I had 3 packs of cigarettes hidden. So I went to that cabinet. I got the 3 packs of cigarettes, and I made a ceremony that only I myself would enjoy at that moment. I opened the 3 packs of cigarettes. I went to my bathroom. I turned on the faucet as hard as I could turn it on, and I drowned the 3 packs of cigarettes. You know, the filters started popping up. All 60 filters started popping up, and they all got wet. And afterwards, I said, there you are. You drown. I said, and I got the wet cigarette. I threw them again and put them in the plastic bag. I went downstairs and threw them in the liquor bin. And so I like that because it was an assurance to myself. I had to do something like that. I'm a person who loves ceremonies. I'm a person who loves celebrating a lot of events. Actually, after this meeting, I'm going to go and make myself as beautiful as I can. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to go to the parlor and have my nails done. I'm going to have my hair done because I'm going to attend a wedding. A cousin of mine is getting married in one of our beautiful churches, a beautiful cathedral, and I'm going to go there not only looking good, but smelling fantastic. I'm not going to go there like the good old days when I would try to cover my cigarette smell with a lot of colognes. Today I can go there smelling like myself, free from nicotine, free from, you know, the clutches of Nicodemus. And I'm so, really so grateful for being where I am today. I am here today because God gave me the grace to be here today. And for those of you who have given me support, oh gosh, I love you all. And the love you have given me, I give back to you. If you are new in this room, please stay in this room. I made 90 meetings in 90 days. I'm still trying to make another 90 meetings in another 90 days. And it's fun. It's given me freedom one day at a time. I haven't even looked at my quit meter yet. I don't know the hours. I don't know the days. All I know is I had my last nicotine cigarette session on July 19 at 6 o'clock in the evening. And I'm so eternally grateful. Today, I wish I could talk on and on. But I know that some of you would still like to have the last 7 minutes. I like the word 7 minutes because it's just about how much it takes to smoke one cigarette. And I'd like to listen and to look at your names for the next 7 minutes and be with you in prayers. So thank you so much for letting me share a part of my story. If you want to continue knowing about me and listening to my stories, please keep coming back because I'm a talker. I like to talk about Tina. Tina is a good topic. Thank you. Go ahead and have a great 24 hours ahead, smoke free.
Thank you so much, Tina. That was an awesome job you did there. Great share. Really loved listening to your story. Yes, you did fantastic, woman. I'm not going to be able to fill up the remaining minutes, though, with this voice. I love you're so honest about your favorite subject. It's so easy to talk about ourselves, isn't it? Or it is for me. Someone has something that they'd like to say, I guess we'll just go ahead and close this meeting. Anyone got a burning desire?